This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. Australians will go to the polls tomorrow, 21st of May, to elect the next government and prime minister. This is the first elections since 2019, and it also carries the distinction of being the first election where an incumbent prime minister has actually served a full term in office.
That's right. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is seeking re-election. He's going to be looking to secure a majority in the House of Representatives for the Liberal National Coalition that he leads. His challenger is a man named Labour leader Anthony Albanese, who is one of Australia's longest serving politicians, and he was also briefly Deputy PM under Kevin Rudd in 2013. Credit has been given to Scott Morrison for steering Australia through the pandemic. It's also got among the lowest death rates from COVID in the world due to its strict border closures.
And its economy is currently fairly robust. It's projecting 4.3% growth, and unemployment fell to the lowest level since 2008, as reported recently this week. But the race is expected to be a tight one, and the incoming leader will have a large entry of issues to handle, from global inflation to climate change. So for a preview of what to expect in these elections, we have on the line Dr. Zareh Ghazarian, senior lecturer at Monash University. Good morning, Zareh. Thanks very much for joining us today. So could we start with maybe getting an idea of what you see as the significance of the present election? What do you see at stake for voters as they make their decision at the ballot box tomorrow?
This is a significant election. This is the first election that Australia has had at the national level since the pandemic began, of course, in 2020. And so we are expecting to see a lot of issues that voters have been concerned about come to the fore. And that includes, of course, the state of the economy, the state of housing costs, which has been a very important issue in Australia over the last few years, as well as, of course, inflation and cost of living measures as well. These are important issues that we expect to be very important in the minds of voters, and they have dominated the election campaign so far.
So with all these, well, this whole raft of issues that you mentioned, Doc, which is the uppermost in the minds of Australian voters, and which one tips the balance in the favour?
Certainly from the polls that we've seen, it is certainly the economy, the state of the economy, inflation and cost of living. In Australia, the inflation rate, like many other parts of the world, did go up. And the published figures that came out during the campaign showed that inflation had gone up by a very large amount, 5.1%. And that has really led a lot of people to focus on their weekly bills, on their weekly expenses, and has caused a lot of concern in the community about which government or which party may actually be best placed to help them address those costs. There's also other issues, of course. Climate change continues to be something that gathers a lot of people's attention, but certainly the issues that have been dominating are economic.
Yeah, I mean, unemployment isn't too shabby. It's a multi-year low. So what's your sense of whether Australian voters stay with Scotty Morrison or they take a roll of the dice with Albanese, given especially the possibility that there could be a hung parliament because of both sides' popularity?
That's right. Both leaders are not very popular. And what we are seeing is that the coalition leader, Scott Morrison, his personality has been attacked by the opposition. But at the same time, the government has also attacked the opposition leader's personality and his capacity to be on top of all the issues that he is expected to be. What is interesting in this debate, however, is that while the economy is going strong, there is a sense that the government can be doing more. And that is, I think, what is contributing to Labor's relative popularity. And another important matter that I think we need to be aware of is, of course, as you point out, the possibility of a hung parliament, meaning that neither coalition or Labor parties are able to win a majority of seats in the House of Representatives. And if that's the case, then they will have to rely on negotiating with other MPs, independents who may be in the House of Representatives, to form that majority.
Zareh, what is a Labor government promising? What are the policies that they're pushing forward that would make them different from the current Scott Morrison government?
I think that's a really interesting point. In 2019, Labor had a range of very expensive, very large policies that included issues concerning climate change and other service delivery mechanisms, as well as significant changes to taxation. This time, the Labor Party has gone for a very small target strategy. They haven't promised those controversial policies once more. They've been very focused on keeping Mr. Albanese presenting as a safe pair of hands, someone who is not going to come in and fundamentally change the economy. Rather, Labor is seeking to increase service delivery and look after those who it sees have been unable to share in the prosperity of recent years. That's going to be the important elements that Labor has focused on and has campaigned on.
So what about the, you know, the other big phenomenon that's obviously writ large in the room, which is the geopolitics of the situation and, of course, the looming presence of China? What are both sides talking about in that context?
It's been very interesting. While national security, foreign relations, foreign policy did feature early on in the campaign, it wasn't talked about in any deep or meaningful way. And that's traditionally the way that Australian politics and Australian national campaigns are. They are dominated by domestic issues. And when we look at what the parties are talking about in relation to international relations, then they are very similar. So there is not going to be, I would expect, a fundamental change in international relations, whether Labor comes in or the coalition maintains its position.
What about demographic trends, Zari? Which segments are you going to be looking out for when they go to the polls tomorrow in terms of which population group could swing the vote? You know, what's going to be key to watch?
Certainly. I think there are a few important things. As we have compulsory voting in Australia, we're expecting 95% of people to have turned up to vote. So we're looking at broad trends. We're looking at, for example, a division that's starting to emerge electorally between inner metropolitan electorates and outer metropolitan and rural and regional electorates. We are seeing the rise of these independents in inner metropolitan electorates, and they are very much focused on advancing an agenda that looks at climate change. They are advocating for an integrity commission at the national level. They're concerned about more socially progressive issues. And this seems to be resonating with these inner urban electorates. The problem there for the Liberal Party, which is, of course, the major partner in the coalition, is that a number of its high-profile MPs hold these inner urban electorates. And if the independents are indeed to win these electorates, then not only is the Liberal Party going to lose these seats, but it is also going to potentially lose leadership candidates and leaders of the future. So there's a lot at stake for the Liberal Party, and they are threatened by the inner urban independents.
And which side do you think has the more coherent narrative when it comes to climate change, given the fact that we've seen extreme weather patterns on the eastern seaboard with the droughts, then of course the heavy rainfall and the floods?
This is, of course, something that has been something that national governments have tried to grapple with for the last 15 years in Australia. And every time that they seem to have come up with a solution, there's a problem and there's leadership changes. So it is a fraught issue. From looking at what the parties have put out, both are quite tentative, but it appears in terms of commentary and reporting that the Labor Party at this stage seems to have greater support about its climate policies than the coalition.
And Zari, I mean, are you willing to put on the line who you think is going to win tomorrow's election? If you had to place bets, which camp would you be putting your bets on?
I think we go with what opinion polls we have available to us. And the general trend has been that Labor has been in an election-winning position for the last few months. And of course, polls can be wrong, and they were certainly wrong in 2019. And it could be the case that Labor increases its vote in seats it already holds, but cannot sway voters in those marginal seats. But I think looking at the polls, then it is indicating a Labor win.
All right, Zari, thanks very much for your insights into the Australian elections. That was Dr. Zari Ghazarian, senior lecturer at Monash University, predicting a win for the Labor Party when Australians go to the polls tomorrow.
Yeah, but given the fractious state of the position, it doesn't seem as if maybe Oliver the Octopus would have a better forecast. But those polls, quite similar to what we're experiencing here, right? Incoherent narratives, unpopular leaders, certain vagueness about environmental policies. a little bit similar to here, lah.
I would think so. I suppose everyone's unwilling to be too radical or too imaginative in their ideas for fear of turning voters off. But hey, actually, what we need right now is imaginative, radical leaders, I think. But it's going to be interesting to see who emerges victor tomorrow. We're going to be following that on Monday for sure, so stay tuned. It's 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, on the breakfast grill, Tan Chen Li speaks to Ho Kian Chun, CEO of Cuckoo International. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.